Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
Oh, wow. We have a table of gays that I forced to read a comic. Let's go around the table, introduce yourself, and who's your favorite character in all of Star Trek ever? We're gonna start with Doug.
All right. So I know about as much of Star Trek as this comic that we're about to review. So my favorite person is probably, I'm going to say Deanna Troi.
You can't go wrong.
She's empathic. She has great hair.
It's true.
Brian.
Shit.
And we're kicking off the swear words early this week.
Yeah, right and early.
So, favorite character.
Who speaks to you?
Which
not Ferengi, the ones in your head, which, the ones on TV.
Which Ferengi is your favorite?
Moogie! Moogie is always the favorite. Okay. Come on.
A powerful woman. A powerful older woman, which is going to be probably a theme to our answers.
I mean, the Ferengi species one-shot comic has, like, the future is female with Moogie holding a banner. So, I feel like I should lend you that comic.
Probably.
Philip.
Oh, no. I really like Kira Nerys.
All right.
Good Bajoran, like, great development. Also Jadzia Dax. No. I like Trill.
Strong women,
period.
I will continue with that theme and go with Garrick.
Who are you?
Sorry. Hi, my name is Josh. I'm a plain and simple tailor.
I threw out this question and I didn't have an answer. So I'm going to say whenever this character pops up on the screen, it brings me joy. It's Loxana.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a cop out because the action figure is right in front of me. Paul.
Okay, I'm Paul, and I did not read the comic. Fun fact, I've never read a comic in my whole life, so it's
and you still that and you minute. Still haven't.
Yeah, it was provided to me free of charge, and I still said fuck that. My favorite Star Trek character, I think I'm gonna have to go old school, but on brand, and it would definitely be Uhura, but specifically Nichelle Nichols as Uhura. Not that I don't like the other women who have played the character, but. Nichelle Nichols.
And Carl.
I'm Carl. I think I'm going to stay with the theme, and my favorite character is going to be Quark.
Ooh.
Because every time I see him in an episode, I'm always happy about it.
And we saw him dressed up as a woman. Oh, Kira's body and Quark's head.
I just watched that with the panel the other day.
And the very problematic sex change episode in season 7.
Prophet and Lice?
Yes.
Oh, yes, where he puts on the tiny ears and the fake boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Doug, you just start writing things down. So,
I almost want to deep dive. Doug, you've never watched Star Trek before?
Never.
How did you end up here? Like,
Brian, because Brian is stupid. Yeah.
Okay. Brian and Doug are friends. We did a cruise with them, and Doug has been, we have been initiating him into pro wrestling things. So he came to these shows. And the eyebrow just kept rising every ridiculous thing that happened. And that's why I keep trying to get this whole group to come to wrestling shows.
So we are
so fun.
We're recording this on May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Star Trek
and
Day.
Also with you.
And we are doing after this a How to Host a Mystery Star Trek The Next Generation from 1992. So let's talk about Star Trek Unlimited. Number 10 is the last issue of Star Trek Unlimited, where we will say goodbye to the Next Generation crew for a little while during this podcast adventure we're doing through Trek Comics.
Okay, bye.
So it's one story rather than two in the entire issue, and it's all TNG with a twist. So we get a previously on to set the stage, and this is where Paul, who didn't read the comic, will be putting in his time by summarizing the original series episode, A Piece of the Action.
This is where my skills really shine as a Star Trek fan, because it's all about old school for me, for the most part, more than the other people at the table. So a piece of the action is an episode that I would refer to as Star Trek budget savior. because the USS Enterprise is following up on a ship that was lost on Sigma Iota 2 100 years ago. So 100 years ago, we lost people and we're like, we should get back to that. So they're going to check it out. And they get some messages from the planet that are very 1920s gangster film inspired. So they beam down to what looks like Chicago from the 1920s, which is a backlot set that was already there. And everyone is walking around as a gangster or a flapper with a Tommy gun or a pistol just brandished for fun. And so they go to meet the big boss, Oxmix. And through that, they get abducted. Oxmix wants heaters, which that's what they've referred to as a phaser in the episode. So they kidnap Kirk and Spock. Kirk and Spock get out of there, get back. There's this whole gang war that happens in the middle of it where there's like an actual shootout. Yeah, total shenanigans.
They needed to fill the third act somehow. And they're like, let's just throw this in.
Yeah. And so they reach out to the Enterprise to get a bunch of heaters. Scotty is confused. So they play the typical like Scottish themed version of the Star Trek theme song over him, which is what they usually play when he's drunk. Anyways, through that all.
Which is more often than you think.
It's a lot. He was drinking.
I'm right here.
And so through the episode, Kirk and Spock convince the two gangs to make an alliance. They install Oxmix as the new like dictator of the planet, if you will.
Seems like a great plan.
Great plan. That's worked out super well for the U.S. when we've done that. So, you know.
And will again.
Multiple times. So then at the very end, they put Oxmix in and they say that, back in like my ADHD brain, they find out that the planet is 1920s gangster inspired because on the USS Horizon that was lost, there was a book called Gangs of the 1920s. So the people on Sigma Iota 2 took that as like, this is our Bible. Let's base our whole culture off of this ratty book, which also is a theme that comes up later in Star Trek in another episode where they like take the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this like, pretty significantly messed up racial episode where they're citing the Declaration of Independence.
Is this where the buff guys are, though?
That's where the buff...
Guys. The guys are really hot.
Yeah. The Omega Glory was the episode. No,
it's a really problematic... Yeah,
not the Omega Glory Hall. That's different boys.
Like, I will show you where that one is.
It's
right down the road
in that room.
Good job.
Anyway, so I'm talking too much. At the end, they put him in, they leave in there, they just ask for a piece, 40% of the cut of the profits of the planet, which they're not going to follow up on. And then they make some comment about, we should come back here in 100 years and see what's happened. And that kind of segues into
today's issue. Today's issues. This was originally published. Cover date is July 1998. So that's where we are in terms of like the Star Trek zeitgeist.
So interestingly, this comic came out 30 years after the original series episode aired in 68.
Yeah.
So this is 30 years later.
And it's
almost, and now it's almost 30 years later.
Offensive.
By the way, my lower back hurts. I need some cream for my shoulder.
It's been 84 years.
You get the cream for your shoulder in the glory hole.
There's a pump dispenser. Yes.
We're opening with the Enterprise E. Any big thoughts on the Enterprise E as a ship?
It is sexy.
I love it so much. The Sovereign class can get it.
Mm-hmm. But it's got a really big, like, I just saw the picture here, that tail scoop at the end where it's got this big ass on the bottom.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it has it.
Because it is a little swoopy thing, right?
Yeah, like on a big...
On the bottom of the secondary hull?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we get the TNG crew. They're getting a transmission from what's this planet?
Sigma Iota 2, which the residents are called Iotians, which...
Okay.
That's interesting.
And not the Sigmans?
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway,
there is someone there named Sigmund, I'm sure.
Sigmund, yes. Yeah. Probably a pope. Or a sea creature.
There we go.
They get a signal and they're like, what? How are they doing this? It's only been 100 years since they were in the 1920s. How can they beam out communications into space? And I'm like, this was written in 98, folks. Like, we've been up in space. We actually went up in space 4 decades after the 1920s here on Earth. So it lines up. It makes sense. But they seem very surprised by it.
I mean, we haven't gotten to subspace radio yet.
Right, which is based on the transporter that we've done. So
I don't know.
And McCoy's forgotten communicator.
But thanks, we do thanks, from Star McCoy. Trek have like the Apple Watch is very similar to the motion picture watch that they had on. We have
iPads instead of just iPads. With 2Ds.
All right. So they're blowing in a call. They're like, we need to investigate this.
There's
can
so
I pause
many
and
satellites.
Look at the comic?
Yeah.
There's ads in comics?
Yeah. Yes, there are.
That's like Paramount Plus for cheap, then.
Sweetie, this has been capitalism forever.
I've never opened a comic before.
It's hilarious.
They list it all the time in media.
The vintage ones have like bodybuilding things because they imagine all comic book like readers are younger boys who need to get buff in order to get girls because they must all be straight.
Gay men.
And the video game commercials or ads from the 90s, that's a lot of got milk.
You're on ad watch.
I did really enjoy the fruit by the foot ad a little bit further in.
Yeah.
That was so long ago.
It was off brand. It wasn't even fruit by the foot. It was like some other. Like
it's fruit by the like, yard.
Yeah.
So
what? Fruit?
Totally.
Again, the glory hole is that way.
So we anything important here while we're setting this up? I kind of
the word imitative comes up a lot. I have to think really hard about how to say that out loud.
There it is.
I remember those.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Mega monster roar.
This is a podcast just about the ads.
If you do mega monster roll, you'll still have 3 feet left.
So it's like two yards.
It's four feet.
A flavor.
It's not fruit by the foot. It's fruit by the feet. This is from the Farley brand. They also had really good just regular fruit snacks. Mm-hmm. Farley. They're the ones who had the strawberries.
These are the longest rolls ever.
It probably had one additional foot than fruit by the foot.
So they have cherry and strawberry. We can probably find a box on eBay.
It's probably fossilized.
So what we learn about the AI oceans is like they can take a little piece of something and make a whole civilization of it.
They'll just copy it.
And they're like, gee, I hope that we didn't leave anything there. Oh, we're going to beam down and we're going to dress up like the 1920s. And a point is made where it's like, do you really think they still dress like that 100 years from then? Are they still in that place? And
turns out they're not.
It made no sense to me though on it because they also talked about when they were meeting these communications before they beamed down, Admiral. And they're talking about how this is the Admiral and he's knowing about a captain on the USS Enterprise. Why would you think that you'd be going down in
1920s
gear?
No, I think it's because Picard wanted to do Dixon Hill drag.
And he's just wanting to play his character outside the holodeck.
And Beverly's hat. Is Beverly hat in one of the Dixon Hill holodeck episodes?
It is.
I have an action figure of her dressed like this.
With the floppy green hat.
It's in the porch. I can get it real quick.
It's a different color on the action figure, but she has participated in Dixon Hill before.
So different writers than other Marvel Unlimiteds that we've covered, but I think the same artists. I think they do a good job, especially with the ship shots. But they made Beverly blonde. So
that's who that is.
She's had an unfortunate history of wigs.
That's a light rinse.
And Picard's face constantly is weird and bulbous.
Yeah, he had a weird face throughout. Like I was like at some of the panels, I was like, is that Picard?
I was not recognizing as Picard.
So you're not liking Ron Randall as the penciler, is what I'm hearing.
But everyone else looks good.
Maybe blame the anchor.
Troy and Riker look real good. It's just Picard.
Here's my question about this initially. Everyone has on a yellow...
Oh, we'll get to it.
We'll get to that. That's a different thing.
It's a story beat. You would have known this if you read it.
They would have seen Mr. Spock in blue.
Yes.
So,
but he wasn't in command. These are like
There's a reason.
Okay.
Because based on the communication,
this is not what the Enterprise's transporter looked
like. No, this is where they beam down. This is the Iotians take on the TOS transporter pad.
I will apologize to the audience now for not having looked at the comic.
Wow,
it's fine.
You're doing really well.
Yeah.
But we do get the TNG blue sparkle transporters, and we do find out the Iotians are very into the hierarchy. Like, oh, you're a captain, I suppose you'll do.
So
like,
they beam down and they're escorted right to the Admiral, who has some fan art of James Tiberius Kirk everywhere. Like,
he spent some money on commissions.
Yeah.
At cons.
That really his middle name.
Yeah, his middle name is Tiberius.
Doug is clutching his pearls.
I'm just with this great middle name. I feel I need to send you with like a pack of Star Trek comics on your upcoming cruise to be like, enjoy. Just enjoy.
Perfect.
We can download some episodes.
Oh, yeah. So the general, admiral, whatever, it's space fleet rather than space army.
It's
the admiral. He seems real cranky and he's old.
That track.
Yes.
Yeah,
Doug.
So he was actually there.
A little boy.
Was, yes. There for 100 years.
He was like he was a newsie.
Yeah.
He was. There may be strange sounds because we don't have Bun Buns this time to jump up and delete the recordings. We have a Clark who is a dog.
Yes. He's investigating. He also didn't read the comic. So shame on you.
He did, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we sat on the couch and read it together.
Oh. So this is where Picard is like, oh, you don't dress like us anymore? You're all in the gold command uniform from TOS? This is weird. And then we get the flashback where James Kirk
is there.
Like, he's making, like, you're going to get a piece of the action, small child. And the small child took him seriously. And now it's the Admiral.
Yeah, he took Kirk at his word.
Oh, and here we're at an ad break for those listening. This one is advertising the X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Video
but
game.
Street Fighter's not Mortal Kombat, correct?
Right.
I was not a video game kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but this was a lot of fun but playing
Street
the arcade.
Fighter was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Whole separate deep dive into Jean-Claude Van Damme at some point.
I believe Kylie Minogue.
Really?
Oh, really?
Who was it that played Cammy?
I'm sure one of you can. So.
I'll look it up.
Okay. So then the four Enterprise people that beam down are Crusher, Troy, Data, Picard, and they're all in jail right now because they're like, we're going to take your ship.
And they get lippy about Data, and Troy jumps in and like, instead of saying like he's an android, he's from South America.
So very TOS, very like,
because people are that color in South America.
But in the first Dixon Hill episode where Crusher did dress similar to this, he was introduced as being from South America then as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the continuity continues.
Shocking.
The Crusher hat is rocking this blonde wig. Like, the deeper we get into this comic, the more views we get of it.
It's gotten lighter.
Plus, yes.
We have, like, a Scottish brogue hat on. Like,
the floppy hat has...
There's a name for it because there's a...
That little red feather that sticks out of it?
No, there's the Peter Rabbit character. Oh, there's a name.
Benjamin Bunny.
I think
the farmer.
Farmer McDougal.
No. You totally made that up.
I don't know.
Like, farmer what Scottish name?
Play the Scottish music right now. So they're trying to figure out a way because they have like an hour. There's a time limit here.
There's always a
this has camera. More ads than
this is a PlayStation game. Plus.
This looks like old people in superhero
it's
costumes.
For a video game called Blasto.
That also happens.
So this Omega is where Picard is like, hey, are you playing Fizzwig? I'm a really good Fizzwig player.
Was Fizzwig part of like the original?
Fizzwig was part of the original episode. That's how Kirk swindled money from Oxmix originally.
Was it supposed to be like a poker thing?
It is a fake game. I forget if it's cards or not.
It's cards. They go through and they make up all of the rules on the fly in order to slowly lull him into a sense of you're gonna win, only to completely have him crushed.
Got it.
So Picard is like, hey, let me out of this jail cell. I play some mean Fizzwig.
And they think, oh, they're falling for it. The captain's out there. He's getting them to bicker amongst themselves. Oh, he just punched one in the face.
Yes. And and they escape. So Troy rightfully is like, that was far too easy. This, what?
And she's having trouble getting accurate reads off people. So maybe there is a touch of the Ferengi with the Sigma Iodans. So they make their escape. They get to the TOS-style transporter, which is less accurate but has more oomph, to get through all the satellite interference.
Yeah, you can only go one at a time, I think.
Yes.
So Picard
is like recalibrating back each time they beam someone through.
So the Troy, Crusher, and Data all go through. Picard is about to overload a phaser on top to try to limit the contamination, even though everything is horribly contaminated at this point. And instead, he gets phasered with a zap. Is that right?
Yeah, zapped.
Zapped. The onomatopoeias.
Question: did the artist have pictures of the cast?
They would. Yes, they would have had reference.
Dr. Crusher looks a lot like Daryl Hannah.
Ooh,
I'm just saying. Okay. Like, that's inaccurate.
The thing in Deanna Troi's bio blurb at the beginning, you should read it for these guys. Because I thought it was nice. She's not a potted plant anymore.
Deanna Troi, the daughter of a human father and Betazoid mother, Deanna has acute empathic abilities and has used this gift to serve as ship's counselor. Having received a promotion to her new rank, she has begun to assume more official duties on the USS Enterprise. Quite a welcome difference from her almost civilian previous status.
Thoughts, feelings? I liked it.
Nice. No, that's great.
It does reference back to, I think, the better part of the Thine Own Self episode in TNG's seventh season, when she orders Geordi to kill himself in the holodeck in order to confirm that she is willing to make the tough choices and be a command officer. Mm.
Which, of course, was spurred on by one of my favorite episodes, Disaster, where the guidance counselor is on the bridge and the whole ship is...
And Rolaren, who Doug is playing later today, is given her whip.
Lots of lip.
I love Ro. I don't care what any of you say.
No, I like Ro too. Yeah. She rocks a sexy bob like no one's business with bad bangs.
Speaking of rocking some sexy, Deanna Troi is popping her hip up on the Enterprise E, and they're all wondering, where's Picard? And
it's been 10 minutes. It shouldn't take that long.
Well, when you get older, it does take some more time.
And then... Yeah, I was like, I knew our escape was too easy. And it was like, intriguing, counselor. So they're trying to figure it out. At the same time, the Iotians are like stealth beaming up.
Yeah, they were playing the Enterprise crew. Like, I guess they figured that Picard would try something. So that's when they zapped him and they started beaming up their people, their gold shirts, one at a time. It's all part of the Admiral's plan to control the whole planet and a whole new federation, as long as he can control the Enterprise.
Yeah, they're really good at copying technology, and he's like, give me a year and I can have a whole fleet of like, these ships.
We don't have warp ships yet, but we have most of your other technology from like 100 years ago. So they're beaming people up unbeknownst to Enterprise people, and then the gold shirts storm the bridge, poor Laval, which I think... Oh, he's the hunk from Lower Decks, TNG. Isn't that Laval? Yes.
Sam Laval is the red shirt with Sito Jaxa, Alyssa Ogawa, and Tarek. In
The one who's like too eager to get in Riker's pants, kind of.
Correct. Okay. Who in real life was an underwear model.
He's hot.
Yep.
I've sent the picture in the group.
Somebody pull that up.
Okay. So they take the bridge.
Hold it up, pull
so,
it up.
So, Doug, as someone who doesn't know Star Trek right now, did this mean anything to you?
Taking the bridge?
Yeah, them invading.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking over the ship, right?
They are.
They want to copy all the new technology and then take over the Federation.
Yes.
This
exactly.
Is where we,
that's their ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And we get the throwaway line here of why they're all in gold shirts is because there's rival gangs. There's blue shirts and red shirts.
Oh, and I love it. It's the Jets and the Sharks.
But without as much singing and dancing.
Well, sad. Something.
So very like Star Trek tried that to mix for
they just took the whole gangster thing and just moved it into the different colored shirts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Picard down on Sigma Iota 2, Iosha.
I have a complaint. Yeah. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, it's fine.
If they are imitators, why does the Admiral's outfit look like that? That's a very original take on a design. That's just I'm just saying.
But they didn't see any admirals when it was Kirk.
Were there any admirals in TOS?
There were, and they did not have much of a different outfit. It was maybe a shinier color with some gold trim.
There were more and they Commodores.
They had the formal uniforms of the swirly gates.
Commodore and Decker, like, Commodore Mendez.
It's like those Chiamonos pieces, just like hot glued onto the uniform.
Yeah.
So yes, the admiral took some liberties with his own costume design. Picard is in jail again, and this is where we get the villain monologue, basically. This is what I'm doing.
There's so much text compared to modern comics.
Okay, that is why I didn't read. I'm just going to say I'm not the fastest reader, and this looked overwhelming.
You just master's degree like a week ago. Second master degree.
Not in reading.
Not in reading. He's read too, not
in reading. You got your master's from where I got my undergrad. And
I got my first master's from another college that's known for partying. So
these are both schools that I went to, aren't they?
You went to Mankato?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So people trying to steal my identity. There you go. So that's that. We get the plan. And then they're like, all right, well, if you don't, so the self-
You don't give us the command code to take over the ship. We're going to space someone. And
you're going to watch their lungs burst out of their eyeballs.
Basically. And Data gets mouthy. So they beam him out into space, which they show him as like drifting off, and we, the readers, get to be like, we know what's going on. Data's going to do something fun. And he takes a spacewalk in bare feet.
Yeah, at first they try to threaten Troy.
They do. I feel like that's a trope. Like,
always threaten Troy.
It is a trope, but also having both of the female characters, or I should say, I think the three female characters that exist in this comic all wearing tiny little skirts is also a trope.
And yes. The poses they're making that we were talking about.
It's very cheesecake. Like, it's cheesecake to the extreme.
Yeah.
And so they now have an hour because self-destruct has been initiated.
Already?
That's a long self-destruct.
No, the hour is like you have 1 hour to trade the command before we start killing more of your crew, starting with the senior.
So
I thought they gave us them 8 hours.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe I can't read it.
There's a sense of urgency. That's what we need to know.
So this is when now the bridge crew is all stuck in jail again. Everyone's in jail a lot in this issue. And this is where they figure out they don't know about our comm badges because in TOS they didn't use, like, it was just a patch.
Yeah.
So they're like, we can use our comm badge. Riker calls Data, who's outside the ship, and he's like, I know it's the vacuum of space, so there's no sound, so you can't answer me, but here's the deal.
It was pointed out to him by Troy.
Troy is the one who did, or it was either Troy or Crusher.
Oh, it might have been Crusher.
It was Crusher.
She had the salty line about Riker in there.
She stopped and says, you dumb hoe, you should know that no one can hear you scream in space.
Yes, that's actually here right on this page.
Yeah.
So how did Data hear?
He held on to it and somehow interpreted the vibrations.
Maybe he put it in his mouth.
Ooh.
Like and this, then it.
Yeah, the speaker vibrations were enough. Even though there's no air to transmit it, he could still put his finger
on it. And he is straight up in his bare feet on the hull.
But he wasn't 2 pages.
No, he took off his shoes.
So to do the magnets, I guess?
Because someone has a foot fetish who was an artist here.
Mm. He put his feet on main.
They're on the
main hull.
Yeah.
On his new website, onlydata.com.
Yes.
It does show him floating like super far away from the ship when he gets spaced.
Yeah.
How did he get back onto the ship? Does he have like self-propulsion?
Maybe he knows the polarity of the hull.
It's actually farted.
Clark just farted. I apologize.
So in Enterprise, they polarize the hull plating, so maybe Data knows the hull plating magnets. And
I bet he has like CO2 canisters in his ass.
He is fully functional.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's space jism and it propels him backwards. Ooh, with more,
I didn't notice his fly was open in this.
That dog did fart.
They see a holodeck and they don't know what it is because didn't exist.
See, it's drifting. It's drifting like Data towards the Enterprise.
Way to segue back, Joe.
And so we see Data like manipulating an airlock thing.
It's the same sort
of thing. But he's on his tippy toes.
Thing that Lieutenant Hawk got killed.
Yes, doing in first contact. Yes.
He was hot. Yeah, and he's supposed to be gay.
But the producers were homophobic.
Rick Berman?
What? I didn't say that.
We get another woman.
That is quite the short skirt.
So
she's in the shortest of skirts.
So we're back on the planet.
You weren't shorter.
Yeah. We all
that's exactly what I imagine all the women looked like in the original.
It's actually very accurate. Actually, that is what Khan's wife looked like, except with a red dress on.
And then she died. Mm-hmm.
Marla MacGyver's rest in peace.
Super short skirt, very tall hair, like
knee-high boots.
You have, yes.
And like only there to seduce the captain.
Except for Uhura.
There's yeomen who do things besides get coffee.
We're just talking
maybe
about this
sometimes.
Woman.
I'm just talking about that.
Yes, woman. This woman is just this here woman. To seduce the captain.
Oh, yeah. She
is looking like
she's
Tawny Katane in 1988 on the hood of a car.
Yeah. I was going to say Raquel Welch for a 60s vibe.
Okay.
I can see that.
She acts like she's interested in Kirk or in
she's
Picard,
like, I'm gonna fuck your brains out.
Only to get a sense of what the other men are like. She's
like, are they all as horny as you? Because I will have a train run on me. Which sister, sometimes you just need to.
I think that's why
you connect her to her.
Yeah. It's true. That room right there.
What is this character's name? Does she have
she doesn't have one?
Wow.
Well, that's typical as well, then.
But
so.
Hey, it's still passed the Bechdel test because Troy and Crusher have talked to each other about something other than a man. All it's you need true. Is two. This is very sad.
The low bar,
and we have the writers are Michael A. Martin and Andy Mangles. I don't know if we're ever going to land them for our podcast after this episode. But
we love you. You're hot. Your butt's great.
Like the story is fine.
So the what's his face, the not general admiral, throughout we're starting to see some warning signs where he's like, and like clutching the left side of his chest. So we know something's building.
And Troy reads him that
He is infirm.
He might be a little bit senile. He's been obsessed for the past 115 years.
Sounds like Khan to me.
About Kirk and what is owed him. So there's
he wants
some
40%.
He does. He really does.
So you can see like what's his face even
Teppo.
Like Teppo.
Teppo, the underling who is
lying. And he's like, we don't understand. Daddy, I'm so dumb. How do I do this? And this is where he has his first, like, heart twinge.
Oh.
And
this is a line from a porno. I've got an appointment in the brig. I'm sorry.
That's not a porno. That's real life.
I mean, maybe, but also, like.
That's the second door on the left. We call it the brig.
Who's this Latina woman all of a sudden?
That's Deanna Troi.
Oh,
So now they're threatening her. So Admiral goes down there with a phaser rifle, and he's like, "I'm gonna do bad things to her."
Because the auto destruct has now gone off.
Yes. So Riker's like, "Fine, you win," and he's like.
Well, I'll take you to the bridge. It can only be deactivated from the bridge. Oh, here's a shortcut. But really, it's the holodeck.
And he's like, abort auto-destruct sequence, authorization Riker, condition green.
Which is a prick. We're going to learn the holodeck.
And they're like, and then the computer says, condition green, acknowledged. So they have tricked the general to what?
Admiral.
Did you read this?
No,
it's that side of the
table. Fake fleet of ships coming.
This is his dream.
This is his vision. Dream.
That's why he wants the Enterprise to make a whole fleet of sovereigns, which really...
Oh, they are all the same. They looked a little different. And I was like, oh, is this a fleet coming? It's remiss of Akira class ships, which I'll point out to Philip.
Oh, that's true.
I love the Akira class.
We're going to use a fleet later in the comic.
One's already been used. You can see it in this panel back on page 23.
The next ad?
No, those pages are stuck together. It's right after Spider-Man.
So this is where Teppo has a power move.
Yeah, he goes for it. He shoots his shot, as they say.
And then... the not general admiral clutches his chest and says is feet first.
What the fuck does that mean?
They're talking about like sending him someplace and they're gonna like walk him through feet first, which is what you say when someone's a corpse. Okay. And they're like wheeling through on a gurney
first. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. And then we have Kirk show up. You recognize this as Kirk, right?
It looks similar to the outfit, but Kirk's hat was blue and this is a white hat.
Wow.
So okay. I'll
that this is Chris Pine, so it's okay.
It does look more like Chris Pine than William Shatner. Well, this one does. This picture...
How many years before that Chris Pine actually played this?
Sorry.
Like 11. Star Trek 2009. This is 1998.
Oh, yeah, that is not.
We can do math.
Well, 11.
I said 11, you said 9. And I did math correctly for the first time in our relationship. So Kirk is like, oh.
Mommy and daddy are
fighting. So Kirk is like, you shouldn't do bad things. Why don't I give you something? I don't know.
I'm giving you your piece of the action.
Which looks like a thumbs up based on
was all he looking for was positive affirmation for the past 100 years?
He wanted validation from Kirk that he was going to get what he was owed. And we have Ravinder coming. Oh, or is it just Clark?
It's just Clark. Sorry, everyone. We got distracted by a cute dog. He's not farting right now.
He's paying attention to a cardinal in a bush.
Did they put Dr. Crusher's hat on?
I think they did. Dr. Crusher gave her a jaunty cap to the not general admiral. And he's like, maybe I should give up. And Teppo's like, give it to me because he's rebelling. And
so Teppo forces the admiral, who is on his last leg, health-wise, to transfer the command codes over to him so he can take control.
Because he has a vision for the future. And then there's some Vries. Brian, you love violence.
T-Zack and
Tzatziki. Yes.
A nice cucumber.
This sounds like really violence, too.
Yeah.
So what I didn't understand is, okay, so general, not admiral, admiral, not general, whatever. Gives it to Teppo, who then gives it right back to Riker.
Yes. Right? Where was this agreement? Where was this agreement forged?
Right.
LaForged.
In Riker's pants. Army LaForge in this comic.
So we missed the whole seduction.
He left it early on. Early on, he has both Pfizer.
Okay.
This is after...
He's there to say that the Enterprise E's transporters can't get through the satellite interference. Like, they have the skill, but not the oomph.
It's very bad technobabble.
And he also yells at them to get out of engineering.
So this is sort of in line with what we've read previously with some of these comics where, like, there's a resolution, but it skips a few steps. Where it's like, where were the dots connected here where Teppo was like...
I think that actually Teppo was supposed to be a Data with, like, a hologram over him. And
that's right.
Was because he said Teppo was supposed to be in the brig. The real Teppo's in the brig. So he was in the brig after his relationship with Riker.
That wasn't clear.
Brian for the win.
So this is where it's revealed. End program, we have feed on main again from Data. the holodeck end program, and this is where we find out that the Admiral died.
Oh, yeah.
A heart attack. And they're like, well, that's the only fatality.
And they give him the full Mr. Spock torpedo
launch. It was his wish.
They don't give it to Lavelle.
With full military honors.
Maybe Lavelle was like... Was Lavelle just stunned, maybe? Although they reference, like, more of your crew being killed.
No, they were talking about that. Beta because they saw Beta. That was the crew that was killed.
And so Lavelle was just stunned.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Aquaman model is still out there.
Sweet baby boy is still alive.
actually, for NaNoWriMo this year, Josh is going to write a whole
Star Trek novel about him.
Yes.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
Are you and Paul also going to do your joint romance novel too?
Oh, I think a Star Trek romance novel, a gay romance novel.
Mm-hmm. I did just get a queer book from C2E2 about a scoundrel at large. And it got 3 peppers for spicy.
I just finished a book about 2 gentlemen who fall in love at a coffee shop and romance and sex ensued.
Nice. Did your parents listen to this book?
No, this did start. For a brief second when my mom was in the car, but nothing sexual. Long story short, I'm listening to this audiobook one day, and Josh and I were getting the car to go to a brewery, and it pops up, and it was like, and then he came, and Josh is just sitting there.
I appreciate
it. Tell me more. What's the hockey player doing?
So I really need to stop listening to these books, because one time when I still used Bluetooth, the Subaru dealership started the car. So
I like that you're listening to smut on your commute. Like, this is fun.
It doesn't get smutty until like certain parts.
Somebody else is in the car.
Right.
I mean, I was disappointed by the 3 peppers. I thought it could have been smuttier.
How
was the
3 out of what?
3 peppers?
No, that was just like he had a little stand for like of his 4 books, like where did they rate in terms of queer sex?
Yeah, but how many peppers is
correct?
Peppers?
Yeah. And 10, 54?
Like, 3.
And when you're in like a Thai restaurant in Minneapolis and you order a 3 out of 5.
No, and that's
different than a Thai restaurant in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And you order a 3 out of 5.
And Philip orders 0 no matter where. and also, we met someone who wrote Star Trek novels. Keith R.A. DeCandido was at C2E2. I had him sign a Star Trek novel, but
you also had him sign the Young Hercules book.
He found like a box of Young Hercules novelizations that he did.
I love those.
And he and his wife were like, yeah, we were just cleaning out a closet and found a box. So we brought him here. And I'm like, I want one of each.
I mean, it is young Ryan Gosling, but the actor who played Jason was the main.
Oh, so we're not talking like young Kevin Sorbo.
No, this is Ryan Gosling as young Hercules.
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling as Kevin Sorbo as Hercules.
Oh, that's very meta. Huh.
Yeah.
So let's finish up this comic. There's all that.
But before we do, I do want to say I was validated. It was Kylie Minogue in Street Fighter the movie.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for closing that loop on this episode. So the resolution of this entire thing happens in 2 whole pages, where it's like, you know what?
Captain's Log, we're going to put quarantine back up on this planet.
No one answered their calls for anything ever.
Anymore.
Teppo, best of luck.
They also like wipe out some computer records.
Yes.
Like everything that they...
Any technology that was with, like, from like Federation, they're like, and computer virus.
Yeah. Yep. And then they're like, and we're going away, Warp Factor 5.
Engage.
And that's it. And that's the end of the issue. So
I'm sorry, but what was the last ad? The last ad is for Overpower Legion. It's a Marvel Interactive thing.
It's a card game. So I had Marvel Overpower cards and I bought more in the pandemic.
And I have some.
There are regional events in Georgia. In Kansas, in Maine.
That's Massachusetts.
Okay. Yep, that too. In Illinois, California, Washington, New York, Utah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Some little Mormon Florida. Star Trek action. Florida and Ontario.
But this is not the last ad.
Perpetual Comics and Games and Cards. The last ad is for Small Soldiers, the movie where we had toy soldiers that were actually alive and sentient that went to war.
But the main character is really attractive because of his square cut jaw.
But let's talk about who this is starring, y'all. Did any of you see this movie?
I did.
Josh has seen every shitty movie.
Right.
The lead name of an actor in this film is Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Top billing, and this is before
not above the title, but
I think this was after Jumanji and Interview with a Vampire.
It was, yeah.
And when she was in season 7's episode, TNG's season 7.
Oh, was she Kestra?
She was Kestra.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was Loxana's first daughter. Deanna Troi's older sister.
But did she die?
She died.
I didn't think she played Kestra. I thought she played some girl who had things on the side.
She was Hedrel. Hedrel.
Yeah. So the other stars, Gregory Smith, don't know who that is.
I do.
Phil Hartman, may he rest in peace. Kevin Dunn, don't know. Dennis Leary.
Oh,
Frank Langella, also of Star Trek fame, who played Minister Jaro in DS9. And he played Skeletor, and it was really sexy.
And he was supposed to come back for another movie because of the end credit thing.
And then Tommy Lee Jones.
And do y'all want to say and?
I could see him.
They're the voice of, so it's and.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Small Soldier.
As the voice movie. Of Chip Hazard, which sounds like a porn star.
I think it's a square Kajalan.
That is a good porn name.
So let's go around. Doug, final thoughts on this issue?
As my first introduction to Star Trek.
Ever.
Pretty much ever, wonderfully campy. A lot of plot holes that I'm going to be mulling over for the next few days.
You should write some fanfic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and how many peppers? Holes. at least 5 peppers worth of fanfic.
Ooh. Oh.
As someone grabbed a piece of pineapple to put in their mouth.
Ryan, you read this comic.
Yes, 30 seconds before this podcast.
Also, multiple people here did not do the homework.
Hey, we did it before the actual podcast.
You crammed at the last minute.
Quiet, you.
So, what were your thoughts reading through this as a TNG story?
So, I'm a huge TNG fan.
Yep.
There was just so many plot holes, which, okay, going back to TNG, so many plot holes, so many times. But this one just felt even more plot hole and railroaded.
Okay, fair. More sort of crammed in.
Kind of crammed in, and where you're like, oh, we're going to take the gangs and still just put them into a 24th century.
Yeah.
And so, like, just kind of like, but we're going to keep all the gang shit.
Yeah. Huh?
Some more holes is what I got.
Yeah, more holes where you could just drive the whole fleet through.
So, Josh.
Yes.
When you read this issue.
An hour ago.
Yeah. More like 2.
That's fair.
What were your thoughts on this? Would you have wanted to see this in the actual show?
I think that would have been really entertaining because of the fact that I do enjoy when they take different series and connect them together.
Okay.
I also like the fact that both Crusher and Troi were used throughout the majority of this storyline compared to many where they're just kind of like a little bit here, a little bit there. And so I did like the fact that they had more screen time. I thought overall it would be a fun time because also like it's a quasi holodeck episode. It's, to Paul's point from early on, a backlot episode. Those are fun in my book. Also, it's a bottle episode that calls back to something else, which
we love bottle episodes
is something that Star Trek needs more of these days.
I still have not read that article about that producer who's like, never going to do bottle episodes. They're dumb.
I don't think I've read that, but I disagree.
Right. We need them.
Carl, talk to me about this issue.
I am not a comic book nerd.
Okay.
I just didn't. I've never gotten into comic books. I've never really read them, but I thought it was enjoyable. It was short enough. My one try of being a comic bookman was trying to read Watchmen.
That's heavy.
I think that was too much. But yeah, this was fun. I don't like the holodeck episode trope in Star Trek at all. Like, mm-hmm. I think all of the Sherlock-y episodes that they do are just so unbelievably obnoxious. But I think this was a nice blend between being a holodeck episode and being an actual just normal TNG episode, which was fun.
Paul, as someone who read along as we were recording,
do you think this? Let me know that I never do any homework, and I was one of the only ones to do this before today.
Do you think that this was faithful to the TOS episode?
What I'm going to kind of combine some people's points. There were a lot of plot holes in this, from what I gathered, from what you all said. And in reading this, I think that it would be fun to see this done. I wouldn't want this story, but I would want this concept.
Okay.
So could we tell a story where the Enterprise E finds itself at Sigma Iota 2? Yes, I would love that. Does it have to be this specific story? No, but something in the same vein. So I think it's a good starting point. And we could give the two guys who wrote this some writer's credits, but then can we have a team of experts make it better?
You know who's an expert in Second Contact? The Lower Decks.
Oh, and see, I don't want it with Lower Decks. But like, if they were to do a, like, say in the late 90s, between when they did Insurrection and when they did Nemesis, if they said, hey, let's not do another movie, that's not our thing. Let's do like another season.
Or a like mini-series.
Because they didn't do that in the 90s. Like, I'm putting very 2024 TV viewership thoughts into 1998. But to do, like, a 10-episode thing, and this is one of the episodes, that could be fun. To Josh's point, too, I talk a lot, y'all. I do enjoy when they call back, when it's done in a purposeful way, not when it's like a, ha-ha-ha, what-a-dap, callback to the thing. Kind of like this whole season of Disco that I won't talk about because Brian hasn't listened or watched it yet. But there are certain times it works well. There are certain times it seems purely fan service. I would want them to avoid the trope that they did with A Naked Time and A Naked Now from TNG, unless we can get Carr doing the laugh. And then I'm all for it in every episode. So that's my long, convoluted answer.
You have a drunk Shimoda?
Who was the character who is acting the most, like they're having the most fun?
I gotta say Data.
Data.
Farting himself back to the
ship. He is okay. He is a freak with a speech.
I'm going to say the ship for that. There's a great panel where the ship just bonks one of these satellites. That's called, like, there's a whole satellite network causing interference, which is one of the main plot things. But there's a great panel where the ship just bonks into one of them, and I just love that.
I also just don't get why they didn't shoot them all.
Yeah,
like, oh, this is causing interference.
Well, let's take them out.
And it's even addressed a little in records, like, no,
we just can't.
I mean, would that be interfering with a pre-warp civilization?
We already did.
I mean,
like, especially with the point where they're like beaming aboard the ship.
Yeah,
like they're already up there. Like, you're not.
Yeah,
and I would the question that I had when I was reading was, I mean, they sent satellites up, but did they ever have any like crewed missions to space?
I don't think so.
Were these like this civilization's first?
I mean, maybe the blue shirts did,
but
we'll never know.
Yeah. So, no, the red shirts did. That's why they're not around.
Philip, this is our last issue of Star Trek Unlimited. This is our last time seeing the TNG crew.
Well,
except, you know, when we have to go back and do issue 6 of this.
The telepathy war,
indeed. The crossover.
I'm just coming up with a list of, like, get Paul the adjectiveless Star Trek comics, because it is fan service effort, but it's good.
Okay.
And get Brian the futurist female Ferengi species spotlight.
So you're going to have to make a call right now, since this is the last Unlimited. What do we read next for Marvel Star Trek? Do you want to go with Starfleet Academy? Do you want to go with Captain Pike? We can put this to a fan vote. And Doug gets the deciding vote, maybe. You never know.
Doug's vote is worth it.
So,
Doug gets three votes, and we all just count as one.
So the options are Starfleet Academy, which is Nog and a bunch of recruits going through the academy.
There's some facial expressions.
Captain Pike and the Enterprise before Kirk.
Is this Pike? Yeah, is it?
This is 1998. No, it's 1998.
So it's going to look like Jeffrey Hunter. That's
yes. we have DS9 or Voyager.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So let's take a vote. Starfleet Academy? Show of hands. We get one, two, four votes.
Because one of them is Doug, because three plus Josh is
one. So we get Starfleet Academy as four votes, which wins.
Wait a minute, there's five other people here.
There's five, if we can all agree.
DS9? I would say I would have voted for Starfleet Academy. Do y'all remember the 90s? Kids' books of Starfleet Academy
with Worf
as a cadet.
Yes.
I have an action figure of Beverly as a cadet, but that's the only Beverly we get. Aside from Beverly Picard.
It was kind of like a Babysitter's Club
thing,
but it was a short little like young adult book, and Worf, it was about Worf going to the academy.
It's about to be a grown-ass adult book when I find them on eBay.
So I would vote DS9.
So we have it. Who votes for DS9?
I feel like I should save pressure. It, like, when you're eating dinner and you save your favorite thing for last, like,
okay.
I love DS9.
Did you do Academy first?
I vote for Voyager. So we are going to go to our unspoken guest, Rabindra, who has entered the chat. Rabindra is here. Rabindra was not able to make it for the issue review, but he is casting the tie-breaking vote. Rabindra. You have a choice of Starfleet Academy, the Enterprise with Pike, DS9, or Voyager. Actually, Voyager.
I had two. Okay.
And
you voted for it because you like it. I voted for it because I want to get it out of the way.
Oh, you changed your vote.
No, I said my vote. I said it would be.
Well, but we're doing a tiebreaker between DS9 and Starfleet Academy.
I mean, I'll always go DS9.
All right. You heard it here first and only, loyal listeners. We are doing DS9 next. So catch us next time. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
And catch us later. Leave us a review for this hot mess of an episode. Thanks.